the planning people are not here. To present the overlay.
The overlay?
Yeah, the neighborhood overlay.
Do you want to step over and call them? See, maybe they're just late, stuck in traffic?
That's where I'd confirm with them. And we can start this and get it figured out.
I've got it.
If anybody rolls in a little later, there are extra chairs right here. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So here we are, the nice October evening. Okay, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within this within its jurisdiction, but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes, and she has a timer over there. Cook your eggs. Please step up to the speaker's podium and clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority. Okay. We have approval of the minutes for September 11th. We have a motion for approval.
I'm motion for approval.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We have approval. Approval of the agenda for October 6th, 2025. We have a motion. Okay. And we all say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we have that approved. All right. So we're going to see a report from Indian Springs Library.
You guys have to deal with me first. Sorry. Good evening, everyone. My name is Trish. I work at the local Indian Springs Library. I am here to discuss a couple of our amazing programs coming up. We are still actively running our Legos and Lunch program, which is every Tuesday from 2:30 to 4:30. It involves a kids' snack and then open Lego build time. It is a ton of fun. It is geared towards kids 6 to 11, but we do have mega blocks for those younger. We are also still doing our free lunches every day we're open. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, that's 2:30 to 4:30, and Saturdays 1 to 3. We are still running our serial killer knockout. So we are finally coming to the end of that. That is our true crime headquarters. That'll be October 29th. We are putting our four finalists up to see who takes the most notorious slot, and then we'll be moving back to our deep dives on controversial cases. We are also having our communication through art program coming up Thursday, October 30th at 5 p.m. This will be a Halloween-themed event, so if that's not what you would like, please be aware of that. We are encouraging costumes to be worn, and we'll have a little something fun for the family and the kids. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m., we offer free yoga classes. We alternate between mat yoga and chair yoga every week. And we have an amazing yoga instructor who comes out from Vegas and kicks our butt regularly. So if you're looking for something to get some good exercise in, it's a great class. This one I am so excited for. Jet is going to start teaching her watercolor classes again starting in November. She has three classes planned out, and I am so excited. She is an amazing artist, and she teaches us some great techniques. Now, to the big thing. November 19th, this is our huge event. This is an event that we put on last year, and we're expecting to be bigger and better. It's called Shooting Stars. We will have a NASA ambassador out discussing the night sky, telling you how to best locate items and stars in the sky. We will also have a professional photographer who will teach you with your phone or your camera how to take pictures of the night sky. It's really awesome. We partnered with Francisco Silva last year So we actually picked the best possible night to view the night sky. It's going to be a new moon, and it's setting early. So we could not ask for a better, clear night sky. So please come out and join us. We'll have presentations. And best of all, we're raffling off two really nice telescopes for those who attend. Thank you so much.
Okay, we'll now have a report from the Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department. You guys need a seat right now.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Gary Judd, Volunteer Chief, IFGFE. Had 116 calls so far this year. I am going to stress that if you guys are going to burn, please let me know. And make sure they're small. Because if they're bigger and the base seeds are going to come over, and then they're just going to put it out. And then all the privilege is going to be done. So, got donkeys out on the highway. We've had an accident. So, keep an eye out. Any questions?
Is that what happened today?
I'm not aware.
There was two cars. One was in a ditch. One was off the side.
That's out of my district.
Okay.
I go to Mile Marker 106, Lee Canyon.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anything towards Vegas, not me.
Okay.
Sometimes it is. But. Any other questions?
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Report from the Metropolitan Police Department.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, much better than last time. Okay, we're off to a better start. They're awake. All right, let's give you the stats first. From January 1st to today, 891 total events, 222 of those were proactive, and 157 of those resulted in citations and or arrests. So normally, I just give you stats from Indian Springs. However, it's on our only area of responsibility. So to kind of give you an idea of why you may not have seen this recently, because the mountain's taking up a lot of our time, the mountain stats, as of October 2nd, 1,265 total events, 342 of those were proactive, 323 of those resulted in arrests or citations. It's been pretty busy with the mountain lately.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's that. And then just the side notes, things have been going on with us. The Justice for Our Desert protest that happened on October 10th. Turns out they don't like the protest when it rains, so that worked out good for us. Solid start, and then they left. No, all joking aside, they did show up. I have a really good relationship with the protest organizer. He tells them everything that's going to happen. They didn't plan on closing the roads. They did not. They did exactly what they said they were going to do. The springtime protest is the way more active where they block roads, and we have to see if I can set a new record from last year's reopening within 3 minutes. So that was pretty good. The other thing that we're responsible for is the Spring Mountain Youth Camp football games. You guys know they were just here a couple weeks ago to visit Indian Springs. That was an away game. So we do have to staff those when they're up on the mountain. So another reason I could pull some resources. Power outages on the mountain is a huge deal. Luckily, you guys don't have to deal with it too much, but it is a big deal for us because I have to staff that when there's outages up there. And there's a lot of projects going on, and with the wind and everything else, they try to keep all the trees away from all the things that can go bang and start to get fire. So we have, that is pretty much the next 2 weeks of our lives. We're going to be doing some helicopter missions to remove some large trees and a lot of fire preventive measures. Another big thing that's coming up, which I'm sure you know, is the Las Vegas Marathon. It's going to start on Mount Charleston this year. So that's great for me. On October 26th, so we'll be there that day. We have a big tabletop exercise. This is how we prepare for a lot of events. So that's coming up. Another operation that we run up here in the residence section is the Halloween soap off. Does anyone here not know what soap is?
What is it? Terms. What is it called?
Soap.
Soap.
Not the kind you wash yourself with.
That's okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's a sex offenders and apprehension program. We do that periodically, and we're the ones responsible for doing it up here. So that's coming up. Yeah, that's a thing.
What does that entail?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
But I think you're okay. We have this. See, this is fun. We're laughing. We're having a good time, right? This is good. This is good. We're the friends. We're friends. Right. We just dress scary for the bad guys like Batman. And all this is recorded. It's awesome. I love it. They chose me. So this is a fun one. Sky Canyon Substation, the brand new substation for Metro. The groundbreaking ceremony is October 29th. So that's important, at least for me anyway, because that's the new station that my team and I would report out of. Yes, we have ours here and on Mount Charleston, but that is the one in town that we would be reporting to. In terms of staffing or how it's going to run, I have no idea. All I know is where it's going to be, really close to my house, which is great, and it's in a good spot. If you know where the Green Valley Grocery is, a brand new one that's on, I think it's Sky Village Park. It's really Hualapai, but they call it something different. Hualapai and Grand Teton, it's on the southwest corner. So that's good. We have the Lundy Fall Festival. We have to staff that. What else? That's on the mountain. October, November, if you didn't know, is major, major training time for Metro. So all of our search and rescue training, our tactics and dynamic critical incidents training, all of our AWOL training for mountain things, a lot of that happens in October and November. So lots of training going on. My poor team, we're kind of all over the place. I already told you, NHP's not here. Yep. K9, we got that. This just happened today. We will have a new captain at Northwest. That was quick, because I think last time I was here, I told you about the last one. Nothing wrong with Captain Sims at all. He just did the whole trip to Furs and found out, like, oh, it's pretty good for me to go now. So he's checking out. He's done. So the new captain I'm really excited about, because we were baby cops together, is Chris Valdez, and he's awesome. But I also know too much.
Right.
Yeah, so he must be really convincing in oral boards. And then I know the fire department from Creed, right, they're not here, and they probably won't be because of the government shutdown. I know we're all pretty upset and disappointed about the National Night Out cancellation. That was a big thing because they were pretty much the tip of the fork running it, and all of our vendors, more than half of them, were government-based, so obviously no one was coming. So we did our best. My conferencing specialist, obviously, Michelle's been fantastic. Tracy, too, and she's not here, but Tracy was great and trying to spread the word to everybody. Like, please don't show up. We are going to do it. It's going to happen. But we do have to wait for certain things that are out of our control to fix themselves. And then we're going to make it to what it was intended to be, because what we didn't want to do, and I was a proponent of this, so if you want to be mad at it getting canceled, I'll be the face of that. I said, my team and I went door to door and advertised something that we're not going to do now. And I didn't feel that that was right. So I said, I'm okay with waiting and do it the way that it was advertised, and I'll have a really good time, because I think it's worth the wait. So, that's all I have. Ford, anything? Great. I clicked it, though. I was done. I can't write anymore.
Okay, we've got some reports. The company that's taking the poles out, and they've had the water trucks and all this business, they don't obey our speed limit.
So I know it was recorded because I did receive a phone call about this. Thank you to who may or may not be in the room. I don't remember his name, but when they presented this to us and we voiced our concerns with that, there was that one individual that said it needs to be reported to him about it.
Right. Yes.
We have to find that person to hold them accountable for that. Because we all know when we show up and like Officer Ozuna sits here or Officer Taylor sits here, and then all of a sudden everyone's really good at driving.
And it's not just the big rigs. It's the boys from Texas, Oklahoma, Oregon, wherever they're from, the turtle trucks, cars, and all that business, those guys are licensed down.
So as long as we can find, I'll tell my people obviously who to look for, because the turtle stuff is new. But if we can reach out to whoever that representative was, I can't remember.
There's two different ones, so I've got to figure out which one to see.
Okay.
And the reason I want to bring it up is because we're going to have new trucks coming in soon, and they're going to go down to Solaris to bring their gear.
I'm sorry? For what?
That
the lay down yard. Right.
Okay. With that, too, I brought up a lot of security concerns with that.
Okay.
Especially with like our lack of manpower out here. Like, we can't be doing what we do normally in town, where we have events planning, overtime officers watching all this equipment, theft issues, construction theft issues, what are the plans with lighting, you know, pointing at the houses, all those things. I brought up a lot of things off record after that meeting.
So
it was noted for them.
Yeah. Well, a lot of their gear is just going to be
tenants all get out. Nobody's going to pick it up and take it away.
Yeah.
But forklift, they could hot wire and take off with it.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah.
The rest of it's going to be tons.
Yeah.
So.
Was it Scott Whitmore?
I don't remember the name.
So that is the laydown yard. You're talking about there's two different projects that are going on, so it's the other project. So,
okay,
yeah, because the traffic concerns were brought up, and he's like, I need to know about it. And he was like, you need to tell me if they're speeding because they have contracts. And I was like, oh, that's
that's a big meeting in August. The whole one.
Yes, yeah, yes, mm-hmm. yes, that one.
But I think that's a different group. It's a different group. Mm-hmm. It's a different group.
They will be coming out, and they will be heading out, taking their arms out, their tables out, and stuff like that.
That was a big meeting.
Yeah, it's Larry and Scott for that one.
I don't know. I liked the one that you were the only one at. He was the crowd. He was the whole crowd.
Okay. Oh, nothing else? No. Okay. Hi.
Do you know when the national line out will be rescheduled?
It depends on the government shutdown.
Yeah.
So I don't anticipate going door to door again because I don't want to promise something that we don't end up doing. But I know through my crime prevention specialist, Michelle and Tracy in the library, and I think the dollar store, we're going to mass email, spread it out again as much as we can. And then obviously this community is really good at spreading the word on things. So yeah, everyone's going to know. Everyone's going to know.
Sure are.
I'm surprised you didn't know about our new captain, but all right. Anything else?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, that was fun.
I try to make it fun.
Yeah.
It's all fun and games to look out.
That's right.
Right. Air Force.
No.
Nobody from Parks and Rec, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Michelle Barrett. I am the liaison for Commissioner April Becker. I know a lot of faces that are too familiar tonight, and we've got some special guests that will be coming up later. But some fun things that we have going on. You did hear some of the unfortunate news, but National Night Out will rise from the ashes. We'll see it again. But there are all kinds of exciting things that are going on in the district. I have some of our newsletters back there. Again, always encourage you, if you haven't signed up, you can go ahead and do the QR code and sign up for that. And upcoming, we have our farmers market. I know Jamie has come out and Quinn was over there. It is going really well if we don't get rained out or blown away by Dorothy-like weather. But this Friday the 24th is our next market, and it's going to be really, really fantastic. In addition to the market, we have a number of food trucks that are going to be there. We've got a lot of new vendors that are coming out because we are doing a trunk and treat that night and a Movies in the Park. And that is going to be showing Hotel Transylvania. So we've got all kinds of fun and excitement to come out and check out that night. So if you want to make the trip out and the food trucks, have some dinner, and then pick up some wonderful things. And we still have some of the fabulous tote bags available. You can come out and get one of those. And just some kind of wrap-up work. Speaking about the laydown yard, there was a traffic study was conducted in regard to seeing if flashers would be needed. And it came back that they would not be warranted. But the crosswalks that are there are still warranted. And so just wanted to spread that information to you. How they do that is that they put a camera out there, and then they watch all the footage, and they watch everything that goes on. And then I think it was 12. I know I sent you the breakdown.
Yeah, it was a population, basically.
Population.
We just don't have enough population.
Yes, exactly.
There's not enough traffic.
But that the crosswalks are still warranted where they are at.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, there
but
was
we also we aren't allowed to have a crossing guard at that crosswalk.
Correct.
Because we don't have enough kids, I think, or is it enough? Are there not enough traffic?
There was not enough kids. I think it's getting. You know what? Let me check. But I thought I had that in my notes as well.
Because of the population number.
and we're crossing our authorized for population numbers.
Yeah.
I know.
And so there were some inquiries this week by Miss Jamie that there was some curiosity. There was Southern Nevada water truck, but it actually was a Las Vegas Valley water truck that was here hopping around. And so what we found out was that it was, they do their own CDLs, mm-hmm. so the commercial drive licenses for their drivers. And so that driver came out to Indian Springs to do their test, their pre-drive. So they came out here, that's what they were doing, kind of hopping around, and they have to go and identify the different parts of their trucks. And so that's why they were out here for about an hour. Then the water reclamation was out here as well, doing their God's work, is what they told me, on cleaning out one of the sewers that is out here. So that willing answers, or the sewers that are here. And so that hopefully lays to rest what was going on Tuesday, because it was very, very busy out here, it sounds like. So we got those two things squared away. And let me see if there's anything else. But otherwise, like I said, please come and join us at the market every second and fourth Fridays of the month. So the 24th of this month, and then I think it's the 12th of November and the 26th. They will be there the day after Thanksgiving because that's a big shopping day. Pardon?
Where is it?
Oh, this is in Mountain Crest Park.
It's Lone Mountain in Durango.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Actually, yes.
Yes, a friend.
Even though the traffic study was done for the lights and for the crossing guards, mm-hmm. as a town, does the town want to look at potentially petitioning parents to man those walks in the morning and the afternoon? Just throwing that out, because I don't have kids in the school district. It's a concern enough for me because I live here. You just asked the question in this venue. So is that something that maybe we need
We could probably get enough support on that from the town because it's been voiced numerous times, social media and here, about having a crossing guard there. So if it was more of a volunteer-based, I don't know what that would look like.
I was going to say.
But if you don't ask, don't get. So.
Exactly. There you go. Exactly. Any other inquiries for me this evening? Okay. Fantastic. Thank you.
You got off easy.
Not even one to be.
Okay, our next business, planning and zoning, concerning Diamond Indian Springs LLC. This is a zone change, first extension of time, reclassified 10 acres from RA to R1. Waivers of development standards for the following: reduced setbacks, 2, off-site improvements, 3, waved knuckles on interior streets, design review for a single-family residential development generally located on the south of Boulder Lane and east of Carnegie within Indian Springs. And speaking is Mark.
Yes, sir. Good evening. Mark Mulhall on behalf of the applicant. I'm filling in for the previous representative.
Would you mind spelling your name for me,
yes,
please?
Yes. Mark, M-A-R-K, and then Mulhall is M-U-L-H-A-L-L.
Thank you.
So I'm filling in this evening. Quick update on the project, and I'm here for the extension of time for, as he mentioned, the zone change, the waivers of development standards, and the design review associated with the single-family development that's on approximately 10 acres south of Boulder Lane and east of Harnedy. And so the applicant has been diligent on this project. They've done a number of steps to get to this point. Most recently, there was a tentative map that came through. But they've been working through the water issue. They expect to have a resolution on that here shortly. That's the reason they're seeking the extension of time. So the extension of time is warranted. And we appreciate staff's recommendation of approval. Happy to answer any questions and to listen to any comments. Thank you.
Any questions or comments?
The water issue has been with the local water company. They haven't been able to obtain a water commitment, so they've been working through that with them. They hope to have it resolved. There was recently a PUC meeting there in town kind of to discuss that issue. It's expected to be resolved, so we expect that within a number of months. The extension of time would be for 2 years, but it should happen quicker. We should be able to start commencing once we have that water commitment.
The district extension is just predicated on response from the local water company, correct?
That's correct. Then we can move forward. Yeah, we've done everything else up to this point.
It was a different extension because they've got multiple projects, so there's different waivers. Yeah,
yes.
I think the last one was to waive off-site improvements. I think. Yeah.
Yes, this is the first extension on that.
Well, okay. Any other?
The assumption at the time was that we would be able to obtain water. My understanding is that some things have changed within the water company. There needs to be some reporting on their end. So that's being worked out. There should be a water commitment. So that was always the understanding on our side.
All developers are supposed to bring in their own water rights. And everywhere in the state of Nevada, that is a requirement. Most developers are well aware of that. You guys have no water rights. So all this is you're trying to get us to provide you guys water rights to build. So you can't put it on the water company. You guys are supposed to have the water rights in place before you come in and ask for a well-served letter. And that's governed by the state of Nevada. It's not up to the water company to provide you water rights to build. There's no more water rights in this basin. People, you can call the state engineer. You guys have. There are no more water rights. We have some water rights left, but there's conditions, but by our tariff, and they were given the tariff, it says you will bring in water rights to build. These are brought in their water rights. Touchstone had to have their water rights. That's a state law. That's not governed by me. That is a state law. And in Vegas, it's the same thing. Corrupt. And you have to have water rights for the basin that you want to build in. I don't control that. I know what I have to demand to be in compliance with the state of Nevada. And that's where we're at. You also have to bring in infrastructure. Now, I need the water company to provide the infrastructure to build. So we have been trying to work. But the agenda, the way you're presenting this, it's not on the water company. It hasn't ever been on the water company. To build, you have to bring in your own water rights. You guys bought land, you have no water rights for this place.
Okay, and my understanding is that dispute's being resolved privately.
Do you own water rights?
We don't currently have a water commitment. That's what we're working through.
You don't own the rights. You don't have water rights in hand. We're trying to work out something. But that's where we're standing. And there's not only this development. There are tons of developers that want to come out and build. You guys are not the only ones. And none of them. There is not one developer that has come in and asked to build in this community that has water rights.
and they can't go out and get water rights. They can't go and apply for water rights. The state engineer over-allocated this basin. We have to have water rights for this basin. That is the Nevada state law in water rights. And yes, it's complicated. I agree 100%. I don't understand why the information, my question is, why do I keep getting asked by developers that have come out here and bought money and spent a lot of money? I understand that. You guys have made a big commitment. I get it. But I don't have enough water for every developer that comes out and buys land and has no water rights. That's the bottom line. I mean, and I didn't tell anybody to come out here and buy. Nobody has said, oh, come and build in Indian Springs and that. So when I sit here and listen to this presentation, and it's not only the water, you guys, it's the power availability, it's all the infrastructure in this community. All of it. It's not just the water, it's the sewer, it's the power, it's all of it. None of the infrastructure in this community has been built up or increased for years. So, it's frustrating for me because I am constantly asked and asked, and I'm governed by laws and my tariffs and my regulations, and I don't have the power to change them. I can't change it. And I'm tired of fighting all this. I really am. And I don't care whoever wants to build it. Just, you guys have to have the right stuff to do it. That's all I'm saying. You have to do your research. You have to do your due diligence and not leave it to the water company to try to figure it out. What if we can't figure it out? I mean, seriously, I'm not a miracle worker. What if we can't figure it out? Where does that leave everybody that has bought money, spent money on land that they can't ever develop because there's not enough water? That's not my fault. I have no say in that. I just have to try to figure it out. So I would appreciate it when people are presenting. We've said the same comments the whole time. We've given our tariff out. It states, and that's our Bible that we have to go through. It states quite clearly, and anybody can look it up. And that's what we have said. And nobody wants to believe it. I have to follow that tariff. We have no choice. I didn't write the tariff. That is what I'm mandated by the state of Nevada, who regulates us, the PUC. I don't have the right to come in and say, oh, yeah, let's make this deal. And my obligation is to protect my existing customers. I have no power to go out there and do something that's going to jeopardize my existing people. I can't. They have first come, first serve. And I have to make sure I am able to service them. They are my obligation right now. They are my paying customers so that I have to make sure are taken care of. I'm not saying we don't want development out here, but you have to be able to meet the needs. I'm not trying to deny development out here. But we have to have enough water to do it. We have to follow the rules. And it has to be fair for everybody. Everybody. And it can't jeopardize anybody. And that's all we're trying to do.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have questions or comments? Mm-hmm. None? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good. Move it down. Okay, we have a vote on this. To accept or not accept the extension. Okay, the question is not. Are you guys ready to vote on this, or have you got some discussion?
So, due to this issue with the water, and I know at the PUC meeting that it was coming up, they're coming up with a template as to what needs to be disclosed. And that's a 30-day discussion with an additional 14 days to kind of implement and put it into law, correct? So it doesn't sound like anything's going to be happening anytime soon. I don't understand how this is going to be moving quickly.
So we're here tonight because last Wednesday at the Board of County Commissioners meeting, Commissioner Becker had requested that, actually directed that the Comprehensive Planning Department work with you, the citizens of Indian Springs, to establish what is called a Neighborhood Protection Overlay District for your community. The guidance that we received from the Commissioner's office is that the area basically, this part of your community where you have a larger rural lot, the commissioner wants to have protection for that area to preserve those rural, your rural lifestyle. And establish an ordinance that would protect your community. We came up with, if you look at the map, a red line area, that this is what we came up with that based on the direction, but this is not what certainly done. It can be worked out with your community. It's just our starting point. It's kind of interesting because we got a direction last Wednesday morning. Usually what happens is that we have a little time to discuss it, but Wednesday afternoon, we received a request from the commissioner's office to come up here today and get involved more. So we kind of cut that time through. But again, we're not, this is not set in stone. We are here to work with you to come up with something. And with the neighborhood protection overlay, it can be all sorts of things. We can restrict lot sizes. We can restrict densities. We can restrict certain types of uses. We can require certain types of architectural design, offsite improvements or not. It's all open. And as I said, we will be working with you and the commissioner's office for a time period that we'll have to say is yet to be determined. But to work with you, come up with a set of ordinances, come up with a zoning district overlay. And yeah, again, an ordinance of ordinances in code that will lock in those requirements and take it before the board in your district. And we're here to answer questions or get you any questions.
Okay, so I'm a little locked in. I see the red line, I see the whole area you're talking about, the house is there. So we were on that, we live on 1 acre lot. And the whole majority area north of me is 1 acre lot plus. Okay? So you're saying you're going to try to help preserve what we've got now? Or leave us open for somebody to come in and take house
opportunities for the looking at. That keeps everything status quo. Because I look at this three-page document, what I'm hearing is you want to keep what's inside that red border static right where it is. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
It could be that, or it could be you could allow for type of development, but with certain restrictions.
So he's saying that it's up to us to decide if we allow developers to come through, we get to determine are they going to be ranch properties? Are they how many per acre? What's the density?
Them a certain color or go up to a certain height.
Right. So they'll have to, if they want to do condos, they'll have to all be single stories. You know, you want it to fit an aesthetic, and the rest of the town is where it's agricultural land, it's all horse properties, and you can keep it to where it fits that way. Basically, it's up to us to decide.
Yeah.
Okay. They're giving us the power.
What example I can give you, so this is the zoning district for the area. And right now, this is an RS-40 zoning district, 1 acre minimum. This is the land use plan for the area, which is basically kind of saying that's what it's remain at. However, that does not stop the developer from coming in and requesting what is called a master plan amendment to say, you know, we want to. This is just an example. we want to come in and we want to change this to a land use plan category of mid-intensity, which would allow up to 8 units per acre.
Okay.
And as a staff member right now, if they get the permissions and all that stuff, they can come in, they can file for that. But part of the overlay district could be a restriction that says we cannot accept an application to increase density or intensity. Yep, that's just an example.
I think that's a pretty good example about what our town wants.
Wants or doesn't want?
Either way.
You don't want an increased density.
Exactly. They will protect you. So say, for example, a developer comes into our planning department and they give us an address that is located in one of the areas that we've identified. It'll get a nifty little color, which tells us as the planners, like, hey, there's some additional criteria for this developer to be able to come in and develop. So as long as they're meeting the criteria that you guys set up, whatever that may be, they will be able to develop. If they're not, we're going to send them away and say, go back to the drawing board and exactly. Yeah, exactly.
They have rezoned a lot of areas in there, even though it, the town board didn't want it, and the county went ahead and did it.
Well, in all due respect, we do have a new commissioner that is very pro-rural area. He's the one that actually initiated this.
No, I'm just saying.
Right.
So my question, because all this area at one time was all considered all this area at one time was more than 1 acre. All this area, and I've been at this out here since the 70s. So I've watched over this area a ton, is that people come in, they want to build, and they rezone it, and they're allowed to do it. There was never allowed any two-story buildings in Indian Springs.
Regardless of if they come in and rezone it, those overlay protections would still apply.
It would protect the area that we decide to protect.
So you would have the regular zoning ordinance that applies to everything, and then the overlay is a very specific set of requirements for your team.
I think it's a great idea. My question was that they had things in zoning before to protect this community by that, and that's gotten changed over the years.
A lot of times we'll have people come in from the county, the state, and do these presentations. Is there a timeline on this? It's a two-part question. Is there a timeline for us to discuss this? So I'm going to make a recommendation that we have another meeting, nobody might not like this, where you guys start and we can walk through, because right now it sounds like you're presenting it and we've got to kind of make a decision tonight.
No.
I think it would make more sense.
We're just presenting it.
So maybe next month's meeting should be addressed for them to present and let them have the whole meeting where all these conversations we're having them now. Now when they come back, we can have something concrete to tell them.
So when do we get to make a decision?
Let them.
My intent for this meeting tonight is we're opening the door.
Okay. You don't need an answer tonight.
No. We do not want to get to the
situation. That's what's happening right now. So I want to make a suggestion that if you guys could have a whole time block and we're discussing this, and you've got breakout groups, and we'll come back together, and we got these 25 or 10 things that we'd like to see, something like that.
Yeah, so normally how the process would work, and again, I'm just going to kind of pick on the Fishers also. Mm-hmm. So last Wednesday, we were directed to come out and start doing this. And normally what we would do is internally, we would discuss, plan, strategize, and then come out and say, here's what we're interested in doing, here's our timelines and all that. Commissioner's office that afternoon said, hey, someone else, and here we are. Okay.
Yeah. We're
in
our due diligence, host an open house, you guys can tell your friends, your neighbors, whoever else needs to be here.
Commissioner Becker is new, but she is really a good commissioner. She's really listening to what people have to say, and she's really wanting to protect like rural areas. You know, I can tell you that. I've only met the woman a couple of times.
Okay.
Young sir, I have something to say.
This is an ongoing conversation. There's no deadline on it. We haven't really determined when that's going to be due. This is like an ongoing process.
It's more of a question of how many meetings, because normally how this process would work is we're doing an introduction.
Right.
And then we would come out and have like another set of meetings where like, okay, folks, think about what you want. And come out and get your input. In some cases, we even have like an open house, which would be maybe even separate from what the town advisory
does. Yes.
And it would be like a brainstorming session.
That's right.
Like a working group.
Something like that. Working group, perhaps, to draw stuff out. And then we take all that information, we'll put it together, we'll review it with different folks, and then we'll come back out, say, here's what we're doing. And then there could even be more input. They come back out and say, here it is, and then we'll start going through the public hearing process.
But I want to hear from you all. I don't know much about Indian Springs. I'm wondering, why was this area designated? Can you guys kind of tell us what's been taking place in this area? How it's changed?
There's a whole working ranch, multiple working ranches in this entire area. There's a lot of natural aquifers and springs in this area, which I think is what the biggest concern to protect is, just based off the people that are, I mean, half the people that live in this block are in this room, so.
Yeah, I can tell looking at the aerial photo, there's a lot of greenery there.
Yes.
So I know you've got some kind of water going on there.
There's lots of natural water, there's lots of horse properties, lots of people that have animals and farms and gardens, there's
it's zoned agricultural.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have our history as well there that I think is a big part that people want to have as well.
Were those some of the first homes here in Indian Springs?
Yes, it was the homesteads, yes, like the Stagecoach Depot is still there. There's lots of Native American history through there. Like you can find all kinds of arrowheads and chips all over the place up through there. The natural springs that breathe. Flow through the whole area.
If you have more questions, the library actually has several books written by residents that we keep in the library and photographs of the different homesteads on our walls.
Okay.
I have one question for you.
Sure.
If there's an adjoining property to that red line that wants to be included, could that owner contact you and say, could you?
This is just a baseline that we're starting with. This is not set in stone.
Okay.
The line can be adjusted.
Okay.
And then I basically want to say, you know, anything's kind of on the table. We'll listen to ideas. If there are certain restrictions that we have to kind of abide by because of federal agencies and all that kind of stuff. If somebody, for example, came in and said, we want to put a place of worship in an area in there, as a governmental entity, we really can't say no. But we can require, if it's, we say, yes, you can have a church, but that church has to meet certain design criteria. And that can be part of this plan as well. We can look at things like you, maybe as a community, you don't want this area developed, but maybe you want to make it easier if you have families so you can put in a accessory apartment or accessory house for your kids to live in.
Right.
Could there be restrictions there to make that easier for you guys or for the child?
Most of the suggestions that you guys are referring to can be found in this packet for everyone to review, right?
Yes.
It's basically
in terms of the criteria. For
right, and options that we have to brainstorm and everything for the next public meeting.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I strongly suggest everybody get one of these.
Homework assignment.
Yeah.
And I will, we've been directed by the commissioner's office, and I will make the commitment that we will have staff come out here to your meetings. It could be myself, it could be Jasmine. We have a couple of other really good people on staff here. We will work with you, and we will see what we come up with together.
You guys, I also have some cards available too. You guys can reach out to either one of us. We can even show you examples of other overlay areas just to kind of get the wheels turning. That might be helpful.
Yes.
Yeah. We can expand those boundaries. If there's other areas in the community, we have to look at what can be considered as a logical boundary. How is it all tied together? We can expand it. We can do all sorts of things. It's not even a beyond the realm of possibilities that we can put requirements on areas that are bounding your overlay district with specific requirements to like transition and to mitigate the higher intensity and intensity that's adjacent to it. Because yeah. You've got a community here that you have water issues, I get that, we don't really address that. But if that is something that can be addressed, yes, there are developers that want to come out here. I think we all know that. In other rural areas in Clark County, we have the same thing. There are developers that want to come out there. People like to, you know, like, I want to live in a more rural area. I want to be a little bit further outside of Las Vegas. Personally, I live in Moapa Valley. Yeah, I understand.
Sure. So. Is there anything else to the presentation?
The boundary, like this right here. So, like, no. You could put something where it's like you can't build something like Beezer, where it's that, you know, high intensity homes. Maybe you have a transition so it's not as compact.
So we have a zoning district right now that would allow, it's the RS 5.2, which is allows for lots that would be 5,200 square feet. We could put in requirements that could limit the density, could limit building height, could require a transition along the property line where lots have to be at least 10,000 square feet. Those are just things that I'm spitballing that we could look at.
You could even wave off-site the street lights, you know, keep the rural character intact that way, too. Mm-hmm.
Or,
you know, those on.
Or just kind of throw it out there, too, where you discuss the issue of putting the flashy lights someplace. Maybe you require that a developer put in those kind of things. Yep. It's a good thing around the site.
Okay. Anything else, anybody?
So we plan on seeing
you guys. We have one more question over here.
I think Dale's probably in touch with Michelle, and then we'll put out the blast. You know, we'll go through the tree of communication.
Question out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, as soon we transit towards Old Bend, that's not a county mainstream road or something along those lines. If it was in that boundary, would it either
transform the race to this road?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or would they clean it up? Or would
they stay in use? Well, it would be kind of more with off-site improvement, so it's kind of hard to say. And then I think you're also dealing with some BLM property.
Correct.
Here,
yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you. We'll work with the commissioner's office. I would say it's probably going to give us at least 30
days.
Yeah.
I think
it's
going to go out without it. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's smaller. Yeah, I think it's got some. I'll do it. These are the ones. Yes,
small,
laminated
ones. We've got sets of them. So it should be, you know,
out. So it's in the library. Yeah, I'm going to.
We have a special guest. I know that we have asked what you would like to hear from. And so we have NDOT here tonight. We have Mr. Mario Gomez. He's going to come on up. Go ahead and pepper away.
Before you do the peppering, let me just do a brief introduction. Thank you, Michelle. So I was asked to be here by Michelle and Commissioner Becker. So my name is Mario Gomez. I'm the Deputy Director of Operations and Maintenance for the State Department of Transportation. And so my function primarily is to oversee the three districts statewide. Each district is broken down into thirds. I guess we have the Northwest, Northeast, and the Southern District. The Southern District, the one that we're in right now, covers the boundaries are state line to state line, and then pretty much drawing a horizontal line across Conococ, roughly around there somewhere. So, so part of my duties are to oversee those three districts, which covers construction, maintenance, traffic operations, road safety, anything that deals with whatever you all deal with on your commute to work or anything that deals with state or federal highways. And then part of my job as well is I oversee the divisions that pretty much cover the whole state, which is materials division, maintenance and asset management, equipment division, architecture, those guys, safety and loss control, those guys cover programs that are statewide that cover state funding and federal funding and all that good stuff. And so part of the things that I do, we do as a DOT, we do a tremendous amount of studies. We widen roads. We look at trends as to where growth in population is happening, and we kind of account for all that. Building roads, working with developers, trying to improve the state, promoting more of the economy, mobility, safety for the traveling public. We also help with federal funding, the local public agencies. We are the middleman handling all the federal money to help out the local communities, the city of North Las Vegas, city of Las Vegas, Clark County. And then also we help other federal agencies like the Forest Service up in the Humboldt-Toyabe Forest Service, where this year they're harvesting the tree. They're shipping it across the country to the capital in D.C. And so we've been helping them provide access from the forest onto our state route to help transport it across the state onto other states. And so with that, if anybody has any question for me on anything, that's going to be forward, am I going to have to start handing out numbers? Or all right, so it's 1, 2, somewhere 3, and then 4. Okay. Yes, sir.
I-11, do you know when they're going to continue on northward?
So, and that's a great question, because I get to ask that question quite a bit. So we've covered all the way up to Cal Canyon at this point, and so we are in the process of upgrading that section all the way down the state line into interstate standard. So with that, it's going to take a tremendous amount of money, and then once we're done with a part of that, then one of the things that we're doing right now is we are looking at studies to see which would be the best route. We keep going up north on, towards Conococ, or do we take a totally different route through federal land, and what is that going to cost us kind of thing, and how is that going to improve the state overall, the grand scheme of things? But that study in itself is long-term, and it'll be several decades before we move forward with that, forward on the state. So we are looking for an interstate system that'll help the north-south movement. We got a big connection east-west. You know, the Port of L.A., it's got a tremendous amount of goods. They ship all over the country, and we want to make sure that they cross through us. They use a lot of our resources to promote a lot of the commerce and everything that goes with that as well, and safety as well. So we want to push that north-south as well. Number two?
Yes, sir. I've never been called number two.
Sorry about that.
Okay, the first part is right down here on the road.
Okay.
And you're headed over to Creek Turnoff right there.
Okay.
Air Force Base, right? There's two signs there. Open ring. Been there for a long, long, long time. We have the entrance to Creech right there.
So when people are leaving this town and they've been told to go 45 miles an hour, well, they get up to that point and it says open range. Oh,
and they hit the gas.
Yeah. And then we have accidents like Sarge right there at the entrance. And if they took those cattle down and put 45 up there, people might still go slow until they see the 70 and get past the gate and take off. Been asking that for 2 years. So who do I write the nice letter to get something going on?
Me.
It's not a nice letter. Don't let them fool you.
Yeah, because it, open range, there's another 2 miles down the road, maybe
okay.
Four.
So you're thinking that the best thing to do would be to grab that sign and push it up 2 miles or farther out?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And then leave the pole right there and put 45 mile an hour there in place of it. So everybody will stay down to that speed limit. Hopefully, not everybody. They won't. But we might have less accidents right there at that intersection.
Go ahead.
And
I pull over a bunch of people right there. They say as soon as they see the sign, they think they can go 70.
Mm-hmm.
So they start building up to that. So I don't know if you push that sign down to like mile marker 116. That might offer a little bit better cushion for those people exiting the base. Because it's like as soon as that turnoff is 70, and then everybody I pull over, they're like, well, I saw the sign.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, by the time I pull over, it's right at the sign or past the 70. That might help with the speed.
Okay. So part two, we have a solar plant. Going to go in a road.
Actually, that's in limbo right now.
So the solar plant may, according to you guys, if they do go in, to put in 32 pole lights out there. That would brighten up our whole zone out here. Is that a fact or is that
fiction? That's a developer thing. If it's connecting to our state routes or interstate system, through the interstate, you have to make a connecting road. But if there is a developer coming out, that may be your local agency, which is...
Because I've been out there with solar plants, and I look for lights like that.
You don't see those yet? Okay.
True.
That may be a great question. The part that we deal with solar plants is as they're moving their transmission lines, they'll probably cross through one of our material sites, and we use those material sites to crush rock or aggregates to make roads or expand shoulders or whatever. And so we negotiate or we deal with them or figure out a way of doing the land swap. For example, if they need to run their transmission line through our property, if it's 40 acres as an example, then they need to find us 40 acres elsewhere that we can, of similar materials where we can use that material. So that's about the extent that we do with the solar plant for people, the energy staff or people, companies. So
just
let me deal with that.
I thought I might ask you something.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. This question's on a small scale. We realize it's a stop sign. When you're leaving Indian Springs, make the right turn, that stop sign gets ripped down like every other month. Is it more cost-effective to put a bollard there, like they have that on the strip,
okay,
versus replacing that sign every 65 minutes? What's more cost-effective?
So if you're going to be hitting that object,
I don't care. Pay attention.
You know, I hear that same scenario though when we had the runway drivers, like, why don't you put spikes and then tear up their tires and do all these things? It kind of puts us in a very weird predicament because now we're trying to put some obstacle to hurt people. Yeah.
For safe drivers to pay attention.
I'm not saying it's better, but maybe we should consider moving that stop sign, offsetting it, or maybe putting some curb or something, or something that will, some drive beams.
They moved
it out a couple
of
times.
It's getting hit quite a bit.
Yeah, I
actually just called it in last week. Guys.
Well, everybody's here. What are you guys paying attention to?
So moving it, if it's been moved, what's more cost-effective? I'm looking from a budgetary standpoint.
No, I make total sense. Yeah, but I think let me talk to the guys, so we'll figure something out. But so it's a stop sign.
If you leave here and go right to Las Vegas, it's a stop sign.
Okay.
You don't see that when you leave.
Right there, they followed in 95.
Crazy. Yeah. Are they cutting the cord to shorter something?
Yeah, they're not making white. I don't know
if
you need to. Why can't that turn lane to make it a bigger merge lane over? But they're making it that turn, and they're not swinging out enough.
Oh, right.
And then even if they're coming straight up the Carlin to take that right and go on to 95, they're still not coming out wide enough. So I don't know if you widen that turn and make it more of a merge lane onto 95, and then you're cutting into the access road. But that might be something to consider. But of course, if you study.
Okay.
They didn't tell you about us when you came out here, right? They didn't tell you about us.
I wasn't warned.
He looks at Michelle.
Hi, my name is Jamie Brown, and I have a whole list of things that I
want you to make sure you're going to be here for a while.
Copy shared, and I would love to have your email and just email you things.
Michelle's got my email address.
Okay,
yeah.
Then we got
anything.
The first thing on the list is request NDOT to clean the frontage road, debris, garbage, south frontage road corridor with easements, all of McFarland weeds, debris, trees, and debris and garbage. So the easement, all of McFarland, it's been flooded with so much water from our building going on with the towers, and we have a lot of weeds growing in that ditch. Cut back limbs on Lincoln and McFarland, southwest corner. Then there's potholes, big, big entry and exit on frontage road. 25-mile-an-hour sign behind Family Dollar Tree, can't see, moved by narrow signs on McFarland. Greta and McFarland, there's a shady.
Let him write it down.
That's a list for him.
On Greta and McFarland, there's a power pole and there's a telephone pole. And I'm worried about the safety of our people driving on the right side of the road, that there might be guardrails put around those poles. Not that it will help once they hit it. But surrounding the power pole.
It sounds like Greta and McFarland is not a state route though. That may be
a
county.
Don't hurt to ask people.
No.
Agricultural livestock area signs for East Winston Lane, McFarland Lane, East Winston Lane, and Big Bend when we come back out of the desert. So they know they're entering the agricultural zone.
Okay.
Work with county to engineer walking paths for McFarland Avenue. Blacktop, walkway, stencil, decline, sheep on, and all that good stuff. But trees overhanging McFarland. So when they put their garbage cans on the easement, the garbage trucks complain about the trees that are hanging over McFarland. I don't know if you're in charge of McFarland.
Probably not, but we'll look into our right-of-way, which is a 95.
And then there's this one metal stake that's in by the stop sign at McFarland and Boulder. Real hazard. They even put a new stop sign in there. They put a crosswalk in there. And they did not remove that metal stake.
I know, right?
But that's my list, and I love you. Thank you so much,
thank
sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Michelle, would you want to keep a copy of this? Or?
Yeah, can we take the
yeah, if you, and then you just send me whatever you can.
I mean, that's came off in McFarland. I know they cost about $2.50 a piece in 1990. So
we don't get reimbursed on our taxes. Yeah, McFarland. Yeah, that's a county question.
You want to hold those up?
I was just going to say, exactly here, Mario, we're just going to get you in action with that.
You want to hold them up? Like,
yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Did you want to touch them? I did bring my fancy map of what I think should happen with I-11. Let's lay right on top of it. And Sky Road should be an exit, please. And the Bay should be an exit. No exit at McFarland.
Oh, I got you.
Put that chain link fence all the way across. If you'd like to take a picture of that like Mr. Barada did,
door.
Feel free.
Can we keep this or something? Or?
No, you can't keep it yet.
She says I work too hard on this.
After only proof. Okay.
I'll take a picture of it and email.
There you go.
And
yes,
it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay.
You guys widen the road to for the truck to go up. You get nothing for anybody going out.
Every time I go by there, they just pull right out in front of me.
So we need an acceleration lane, of course, so they can get up to the right speed and then be able to merge with traffic.
They pull right out in front of you and you're like
caught by surprise.
How many times I got right on the road?
All over the years. Okay. Thank you.
I do have a question. For the entering Indian Springs, the welcome to Indian Springs sign has been a hot topic for quite a while now. We are having a very hard time getting anyone to answer us about getting an updated sign. Half the businesses that are on there are non-existent anymore. Last we heard from the previous liaison is there was something about a contract needed to be renewed, yet no one knew how to write this contract. I volunteered to write it myself just to have someone sign it. So it's something that we would really appreciate, having an updated Welcome to Indian Springs sign.
So a real easy way to do that, we don't promote businesses, so this may have been installed as an agreement or as a permit.
Right.
And that's so what normally happens is you'll grab that big piece of metal and then put a new overlay on it,
mm-hmm.
and then just ask us as a permit to enter our right-of-way to remove the sign, go upgrade it, and then bring it back and install it. So is that striping, or did they actually make it out of concrete?
They made this.
Striping.
And they put the striping in and everything. It looks really nice, but I use it for turning.
Right, exactly. Well, even when you come up, if you're coming north on 95, south on the 95, and you're, like, I'm coming from the test site, mm-hmm. and I pull into Indian Springs, and I pull onto McFarland, and somebody in front of me wants to turn into Terrible's, they're stopping me because mm-hmm. they don't have a left turn lane to turn in. Right. So if you were to change that grid into a left turn heading towards 95 on McFarland, make that a left turn lane, and then coming into Indian Springs, make the other end a left turn lane into Terrible Herbs. I think that would alleviate a lot of problems right there in that intersection, because I can't tell you how many times I've almost been T-boned coming home.
Yeah, as they come off of 95 going south, if they would turn and come down here, the entrance, this entrance, or this entrance right here, we wouldn't have this case. Because you get these people that say, oh, I'm going to cut right across here. Mm-hmm. When they do that, now they've got all this going on.
Yeah.
And so if they would just turn and come down these two entrances and stay off of that street for a which the big truckers will do. They'll come here because they're going to come out here and park sometime. Okay. And that's going to happen. But you get all the cars bundling up right here. Then you got a guy that's sitting here wants to turn left. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4 cars all of a sudden, and they've been real close many a time.
That's why I said that intersection's unsafe.
Correct.
It's not an intersection.
That's it.
Anybody else? <Yeah. laughs>
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, Michelle, if there's anything else, I mean, I've taken some notes, I've got your list, and I've, you know, seen some of the stuff, and I've, you know, certainly drawn some things off of for my own information, but if there's anything I can do to help, please feel free to reach out to Michelle or Commissioner Becker. I'll be more than happy to come and visit again, maybe give you an update, or you know, or maybe just getting something back in writing or whatever. So. Cool. Well, thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you, Marco.
There is more than business tonight. We will proceed this meeting. Thank you all very much.